The Positude Podcast, a 1-hour show to bring joy, balance, and happiness to you and to negate the negativity in your life.
Gonna buy a radio station, play a little music on the air, spread a little love to the people out there. Gonna go out walking in the world, breathe a little clean fresh air.
Hello, folks. Welcome to another episode of the Positude Podcast. My name is Ira Robinson. As always, we are here with Maggie Hart. Hello, Maggie. Hello, Maggie.
Hi, Ira. How you doing?
Doing well. How you doing today?
You know, I was muting myself again, as always.
Of course.
Other than that, I'm doing great. What's going on? Anything new?
I finished my book, Penitence. Yay. I'm so happy to finally get it. I feel like I gave birth, but, you know, it's sort of been cool to finally get that one done.
No, you didn't. You did not. Drama queen.
Dude, I know.
If you ever gave birth, trust me. I would never do it again. Never. graduated to hermit crabs and stuff like that. They're much easier.
Exactly.
Well, it's a beautiful day out today, and here we are taping at a time that we don't usually because we're both night owls again, but I made sure that I drank an entire cup of coffee because it's so early comparatively to when we usually record. So I'm good to go. I'm hyped. I'm ready. And we can jump right into Veterans Affairs. This article was about current servicemen, but I thought it was really cool, so I put it in for this week because it really touched me. It's about a program that keeps military families close together through reading, and the name of the program is called United Through Reading, and it's a nonprofit organization. So it's totally funded by individuals, family organizations, and corporations. The government is not involved in the funding at all. And then what they do is they offer active duty military service members the opportunity to pre-record themselves reading books to their children at home. And the program's mission is to keep the connection between parents and children strong while encouraging literacy and making homecomings easier. It was founded in 1989 in San Diego by a Navy wife whose child didn't recognize her father when he returned home from Vietnam. Seeing a need, she decided to start United Through Reading, and now the program has over 200 locations worldwide. And she says, without access to a phone, internet, or Wi-Fi in remote parts of the world, military families are unable to stay connected. Whenever we get his video and the book in the mail, it's an awesome day. Through United Through Reading, it's a great example of an organization that supports military families. They've won many awards, including the recipient of the inaugural 2016 Community Service Hero Award from the Congressional Medal of Honor Society. They've won the 2015 American Prize winner, they've won the 2015 Library of Congress Literacy Awards Program. I guess I didn't drink enough coffee for nonprofits. And United Through Reading is designated as a Best in America charity. In 2015, with the help of 13,260 volunteer hours, they served nearly 100,000 beneficiaries at 262 recording locations around the world, distributing more than 10,000 children's books to military children. And in 2015, the military families stayed connected using United Through Reading from 19 U.S. and Air National Guard commands, 14 U.S. Army and Army National Guard commands, 26 U.S. Coast Guard cutters and commands, 17 joint commands, including Bahrain, Horn of Africa, and Guantanamo Bay, 44 U.S. Marine Corps commands and libraries, 4 medical commands to include the USNS Comfort, Fort Belvoir Warrior, and a transition battalion, 68 U.S. Navy commands, including Navy Special Warfare, and 70 USO host sites. So I thought this was incredible. An incredible program. I thought it was a great way to, you know, keep the children at home when they miss their dad, to get a book and a video, you know, or an audio in the mail, and be able to read the stories, you know, listen to the stories that their dads and moms recorded for them that are in the military, and, you know, just bring the children some love from their parents overseas or wherever they're stationed. I thought it was an amazing concept, and I thought it was really neat, so I wanted to share it with everybody.
Well, for me, you know, obviously I'm a big fan of books. I'm a writer myself, so I'm a big fan of books. And anything that can happen to help the new generation read instead of sitting around playing video games or things along those lines, I'm all for. And something like this, you know, where the parents are getting involved in such a way, is really, it's a great program. You know, I think that mothers and fathers reading to their children when they're young, even as far young as when they're in the womb, is something that's absolutely critical to help children expand their horizons, you know, breeds intelligence, I guess you could say, through reading. And, you know, so something like this is absolutely an amazing program. I love it.
One of the concepts that I had when I read the article was to possibly ship them some of mine, you know, because they're geared toward children, No More Monsters and I Am Energy, and, you know, just send them some complimentary copies so that they could record them and send them back to the children, because the one especially is very, very helpful for children when they're afraid at night, you know, and afraid to sleep when they're hearing noises. So, you know, typically when a family is experiencing, you know, the nighttime tremors, you know, they're getting ready to go to sleep and they're locking up the house and, you know, everything's dark and quiet. Those are the times that children, you know, typically have issues, right? So I thought that would be a cool thing to do, and I'm considering that. It's something that I may be volunteering, is some of my books for them to be able to record.
That would be cool.
I thought that would be pretty cool, too.
That really would be, yeah.
Yeah. So for Think Outside the Raggedy Book, a lot of my emails and correspondence this week has been geared toward people who are doing good things for others, and then they don't feel reciprocated or they don't feel as though it's appreciated. So the Raggedy Box for this week is, how good is good, or how good is too good? I think it's important for us all to set limits and set boundaries as to, especially when it's in the case of a person who is always calling you on the phone, always needs help, is very, very much a psychic vampire, let's say, you know, stealing your energy, draining you emotionally, and, you know, continually you're trying to help this person because they have issues in their lives, and you don't want to hurt their feelings, you don't want to offend them, especially if they've reiterated to you over and over that you're the only source of support that they have. But there comes a time where it becomes so emotionally and physically draining on you that it almost becomes a burden to you. So to be able to set boundaries, you can do a good act for someone. You can spend time with someone. You can give them an attentive ear. You can give them comfort, compassion. But you need to be able to draw the line so that it's not something that's debilitating to you, that's taking away from the little bit of free time that maybe you might have to spend with your family, or the little bit of time that you may have just to relax and unwind and get yourself kind of decompress.
Yeah, that'd probably be the best one.
Yeah. So, you know, just keep that in mind. It's wonderful to be a good person. It's wonderful to be someone that's helpful to others. It's wonderful, especially if you're empathic, to be somebody that has a compassionate ear for someone, but don't let them take advantage of you. Because then what happens is a lot of people don't know how to handle that, so they start to resent the person that they were trying to help in the beginning, right? And it gets to be just a problem, you know? So what happens is then, you know, that personal call, that personal text, and, you know, you'll roll your eyes and go, oh my gosh, here they are again. You know, I can't deal with this. It's too much. So find a way to gently tell them that, you know, I'm sorry, but I'm busy right now, or I'll get back to you when I have some free time, or, you know, maybe I can talk to you tomorrow, or We can chat for a few minutes right now, but it can't be a 2 or 3 hour conversation because I have to move on to other things with, you know, appointments that you have, family time, just downtime for you. It's very essential that you have the downtime for you to be able to relax. So that was my think outside the box for the week. And
I definitely don't disagree with it.
Don't
Don't
feel guilty either.
Exactly.
That's the biggest thing. And then these people resent the person, but then they also feel guilty because they feel like they're being mean. Well, you're entitled to have your own space and time, and your family is just as important. So it's a matter of balance, you know. I guess that's the biggest thing, is trying to balance everything. And, you know, when you're ready to go, I have to go. I'm sorry, I have something else that I need to do, but I'll talk to you later.
That's what I was going to bring up, is the guilty thing, because I know from my own experiences, I've had exactly that kind of thing. I've had to cut people off after, you know, just, oh my God, I can't dedicate any more time to this. You know, it's just not going to happen. And so then you're left with that guilty feeling.
Are you talking about me, Ira? Because I don't ever do that to you, right, Ira?
Well, no.
Okay, good.
No, but, you know, especially with being an empathic person, you know, you not only are getting the emotional stuff that you're carrying with you because of all of your own experiences, but also you've been helping this person out, so you're getting connected to them, right? And then when you have to come to a point where you're cutting them off, then you're getting that emotional feedback of, oh my God, what are you doing to me, kind of thing going on too. So, you know, there's a whole lot of different things that add up into this issue. And that guilt thing, man, I'll tell you, that's a really hard one to deal with when it comes to cutting these people off. So it's something that have to do, though. It's something that you have to do.
It is. And if you keep it all in context, you know, and you know, not feel guilty for time that you need to spend on other things, you know, and just keep it into perspective and put it into balance, I think that you'll find it'll be easier for you to be able to relate to that person when they do truly need you, because you won't feel badly about it, or you won't feel put off by them. You know, you'll be able to actually openly listen to their, you know, to their problems, and not feel that sense of, you know, oh my gosh, I don't want to be on the phone right now. I have 100 other things I could be doing. You know what I'm saying? So listening to them, but setting the boundaries is very important. And you deserve it. Everybody deserves that free time. Everybody deserves time to do things that they would like to do with themselves, families, or their pets. You know, you need that downtime. So there you go. All right, Vital Veggies, we're going into fruits because we're like, veggies are like, I think we've pretty much done most everything we can do. So what do you think about cantaloupe?
I have never, ever been a fan of cantaloupe.
Are you kidding me? Are you from Mars?
I love
like cantaloupe?
No. Oh,
what?
I love honeydew.
What is it about? Okay.
I love honeydew, but the cantaloupe itself is I don't know, it's too musky for me, I guess, is what it comes down to. I just don't care for the flavor too much of it. Now, my wife loves it. My wife loves it. My mom loves it. Crystal, my daughter, she loves it. Both me and Seth are looking at cantaloupe like, oh my God, how can you people eat this thing?
Well, that's the one I chose for this week, so just deal with it. I like it. I do. You know, when we were growing up, you know, an Italian family, you know, we always had melon on the table in the summertime. It was watermelon, cantaloupe, honeydew, you know, but cantaloupe was always a staple in my house in the summertime. And you can make little salads out of it with a little melon baller, and you can mix them in so that you could pick out what you don't want and give those to Jolene and vice versa, right?
Exactly.
So that's one way to be versatile with it. But anyway, it's an excellent source of vitamin C, vitamin A, and beta carotene. It's also a good source of potassium. It contains significant amounts of B vitamins. The vitamin A found in cantaloupe is important for eye health. Adequate vitamin A intake can help your eyesight stay sharp and healthy. It helps with night vision, helps you to see colors. It aids in wound healing, and it helps your body to make collagen, which is very important as you grow older for your skin elasticity, you know, to prevent wrinkles from forming. Not that I would know about that. A protein essential to maintaining strong bones and skin. And foods rich in beta carotene, like cantaloupe, have really good antioxidant benefits. So this could help to be a reduction for certain diseases like, you know, heart disease and cancer. And I picked two recipes this week just because they're really simple and easy to make. And then that way people could pick based on what their personal likes and dislikes are. At least one of these should be beneficial to you, unless you're Ira who hates cantaloupe. But an Italian famous one, and you see this a lot at appetizers at summer weddings for Italians, is just cantaloupe and prosciutto. And prosciutto is a very thin slice. If you get it thin slice, it's an Italian cold cut. It's a little spicy in nature. I love it. And all that you do is you take the cantaloupe, seed it, and cut it into either wedges or chunks. And then you take the prosciutto, thin slice though, and wrap it around there. And you can stick a colorful decorative toothpick or one of those plastic swords in the center. You can garnish it. It's a very, very simple dish to make, but it's, to me, very satisfying. I love it. I eat it as a snack in the summertime. And if you're not like into prosciutto or you want to stay away from meat, you could try a cantaloupe smoothie, which is also extremely easy. It's 1 cup of vanilla yogurt, 1/2 cup orange juice. I can't have orange juice, so I would leave that out and substitute something else. 1/2 cup of sliced cantaloupe and 4 ice cubes crushed or as needed. And you just blend it all together in a blender or one of those bullets until it's smooth and you're done. It's an amazingly good drink. I do a lot of summertime smoothies. I do a cucumber and cantaloupe with some green tea and a banana in it. Play with it. See what tastes good to you. But smoothies are a wonderful way in the summertime, especially to have a light, quick meal when you're on the go. They're not very heavy in the really hot summer months. And you can also freeze them and put them in the freezer and make ice pops out of them, too. So there you go. That's my recipe for the week. And I'm not going to ask you if you're going to try it because you hate cantaloupe. So try it with honeydew. I don't know how honeydew would be with prosciutto, but you can try a smoothie with honeydew, right?
Yeah, I can give it a try.
There you go. Woohoo! So for memorable, and excuse me, my allergies are kicking up this week. They're flaring. But for memorable, you got to watch this movie. I chose Of Mice and Men. Have you seen the movie?
No, I have not seen the movie, but I have read the book. So I'm not sure which
Did
way.
Did you like it?
It's okay. I'm not too heavy into the style, but I've read a few of his books, and that one's probably the best one out of the ones that I've read.
Yeah, I'm not a huge Steinbeck fan either, I've got to be honest. You know, we were forced to read it in school for a lot of the classes that I took. So I've read a lot of his novels and not a huge fan, typically, I've got to be honest. But this one was directed by Gary Sinise, and it stars John Malkovich, who I love, Gary Sinise, Ray Walston. And it was made in 1992, so again, it's a little older one. But it's a retelling of John Steinbeck's classic novel with Gary Sinise as the wily George and John Malkovich as the brutish, simple-minded Lemmy. And this review comes from Fandango, by the way. Set during the Depression era, the film opens as George and Lenny are running from a woman with a torn dress who has sent a gang of ruffians to chase the two out of the county. After a long bus ride and a 10-mile walk, George and Lenny arrive at a migrant farm in California's San Joaquin Valley?
San Joaquin.
Huh?
Joaquin.
Just kidding. Okay. Well, thank you, Webby. Where they seek work. I could never pronounce that. Go ahead.
Joaquin.
Sounds Indian, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's Spanish, actually. It's maybe if it helps you to remember Joaquin Phoenix, the actor.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Say it again.
Joaquin.
Okay.
It's like walking without
well,
the
anyway.
L.
Without the G?
It's like walking without the L.
I love you, Webby. George... George dreams of putting together enough money to buy a small piece of land where he and Lenny can build a home. He hopes that in California, the two can realize their dream. But unfortunately, the foreman of the ranch, Curly, who's played by Casey C. Mazzesco, I think, enjoys tormenting Lenny, while Curly's frustrated wife, Sherilyn Fenn, entices Lenny with her sexual allure. George warns Lenny to steer clear of Curly's wife, but Lenny follows her to a barn where a tragedy occurs, and George and Lenny's dreams are shattered. So there you go. If you haven't seen it, I would recommend watching it. Even if you're a fan of the stars, it brings a lot to the movie just because of the guys that play the parts, I think. But it was a good movie. I liked it. I wasn't one of my favorites, but it wasn't horrible either, and it was inspirational. So I chose it for this week. Give it a shot. See,
I like it. Yeah,
like it.
I like all those actors myself. Gary Sinise is definitely one of my favorites. I love the guy, and John Malkovich is pretty good too. So
yeah, he's awesome. So let's see. Let's do the to-do list for you, and then go into Comedy Corner. How about that?
Sounds good.
Okay. Again, this week, you know, just out running around, running errands and different things, going to different appointments that I had. I see a lot of people walking alone. And recently, in the last week or so, I've seen a lot of elderly people that are by themselves. It seems like I had to go to an appointment this week at a doctor's type office. And, you know, I was walking in and this person dropped off this elderly woman at the curb. And so she's got to walk to the entrance of the facility herself, try and manage to get the door open. And then in this case, there was like a little lobby and then an inside door. And she was struggling with her walker. She couldn't do it all by herself. And, you know, I get the fact that the person had to park the car and was going to come back and help her. But by that time, she was at the door needing assistance. And there were two other instances this week. One was a gentleman with a cane. And the other one was a wheelchair. And a lot of our elderly people, unfortunately, are driving themselves to their appointments. They don't always have the required assistance. They maybe can't afford to have, you know, let's say a home health aide or a companion, they call it nowadays, to help them on their errands. And maybe it's the case of, like I said, someone just parking the car and thinking that it would be easier to drop them off at the entrance. But if you see something like this, just walk with the person and, you know, hold the door for them. Or if you're in an office waiting, please get up and open the door for them and help them, assist them inside. I had an instance a couple weeks ago where the gentleman actually dropped his cane and couldn't bend over to pick it up on the sidewalk. And as he was reaching for the cane, he almost toppled over, you know. So just be aware of that. Walk with a stranger or walk a couple steps behind an elderly person or maybe jump in front of them and hold that door. That could be you someday. That could be your mom or dad, you know, maybe that needs assistance. And I think if we all do kind little simple things to help other people, that's what makes the world go round. So what do you think?
Well, yeah, exactly. And, you know, like our neighbor, you know, be aware, be friends with people that are around you, especially if they're elderly. You know, our lady that lives across the street from us here called us yesterday because she couldn't get her blood pressure medication open. She couldn't get the bottle open. So she called and asked if I could come over and open the bottle for her, and gladly, you know, walked across the street and got it open for her, you know. So, I mean, that kind of thing, if she wasn't, if we weren't friends with her, you know, if we didn't get to know her a little bit, she wouldn't have been able to call us to ask. So just, you know, open yourself up a little bit to the people that are around you, because you never know. You know, it's just, how hard was that for me to do? It took me 5 minutes worth of time to walk over there, open the bottle, say hi, pet her dog, and walk back home. You know, it's no big deal, right? So,
yeah, we were actually on the phone yesterday.
Exactly,
when that happened,
exactly. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with doing it.
It's, you know, yeah, absolutely. Get to know your neighbors. You know, maybe if you're not doing anything and they need to go somewhere, you know, maybe you could put them in the car and help them in and out and help them into the facility. But I don't know. This woman obviously lives alone by you, Ira. I'm seeing more and more instances of our elderly who are just unassisted and by themselves, and it breaks my heart. And I know that around here there are agencies for, like, companion care. I'm not sure who's paying for a lot of these programs. There's one that I know of up in a big hub, you know, about an hour from here that is totally run and supported by the church. It's a not-for-profit, but they offer companions to go out, you know, and do things like this, shop for groceries, bring them to appointments and sit with them. But that is, people like that are very, very in demand, at least in my area, you know, and governmental programs don't require that they have that assistance. So it's got to be something from a nonprofit organization in which you find, you know, an avenue for someone to help take care of
a lot of them,
you know,
are,
a loved one.
Yeah, a lot of them are. There's some programs that are available through the government, but they're very few and far between. And in order to get on to them, you got to go through a lot of different qualifications. Like, you've got to be pretty much on bed rest on a continual basis and that kind of thing in order to qualify for that. And most of the time with that, they just recommend just putting you into a nursing home. So, you know.
And that would be another sideline that I would suggest to somebody is, you know, if you have a couple hours a week to give, you know, maybe go visit a local organization or one of your churches or even a nursing home, you know, and check out to see if there's someone in your area that may be in need of assistance. It may be all that they need in order to prevent them from entering a nursing home.
Right.
You know, they may not have a car. They may not be able to see to drive anymore. But if you volunteer a few hours a week, you take them for groceries, pick up their prescriptions, take them to doctor's appointments, and they make all the difference in the world for that person who normally, in every other capacity, is self-sufficient to be able to stay in their home or stay in their apartment and out of the system, which would do a tremendous amount to their pride. You know, older people, typically, I've worked with many, many people over the years, you know, they don't want to go into these places. They don't want to be forced into a home. But for whatever reason, whether it be financial or physical, you know, they're forced to do that. They're forced to give up their home and go into a, you know, a facility. And sometimes it's necessary for their well-being. Sometimes, you know, they're forgetful and they're not able to be alone 24/7 and the family can't afford or they can't be provided a home health care person. But I see a lot of cases nowadays where they need that little bit of assistance.
Sure.
And that little bit of assistance will enable them to still have the freedom to stay home and, you know, live their lives to the fullest as best they can until they're not able to anymore.
Yeah. And it's unfortunate, but a lot of elderly people, they have children that don't want to have anything to do with them. So, you know, they're pretty much stuck.
Yep, exactly.
They're pretty much stuck.
And, you know, that's the other thing. I see more cases and I hear of more people that, you know, I have this one person that just for somebody to talk to every once in a while, I'll hear from her because she, you know, she gets lonely, you know. And my girlfriend and I were talking about this a couple weeks ago, and she really didn't realize until I went to visit her mom how lonely her mom was, you know. And she's a couple hours away from her mom, so she's not able to get there all the time. But there are other siblings in the area. And I went there to do some work for her mom, spiritual work, and she didn't want me to leave. Like, she literally, I was delayed there for at least an hour, hour and a half after the visit, just because she wanted somebody to talk to and she was lonely, you know. So if you can, try and be a little more cognizant of that, too. When's the last time you visited your mom or your uncle or your grandma? You know, they may be really, really needing that attention and just someone to talk to. You know, so let's see. How about we go into Comedy Corner and lighten the mood a little bit?
We can do that. Yep, we can do that indeed. I love these guys. I love both of them. They're great and highly recommend listening to everything they ever put out. So enjoy.
Well, since I totally blew up the cantaloupe thing and you don't like cantaloupe, this should make it up. I should be back in your good graces after this.
Indeed, indeed. Here you go, folks. Take a listen.
Girls that I am very proud of. I thank you. Love those little girls, and I am amazed at how smart they are. My oldest one on her fifth birthday got a computer. Not only got a computer, can use it. Do you remember what we got when we turned five? That little wooden paddle with a rubber band and the red ball on the end of it? That was a brain builder, wasn't it? One, two, three. One, two, three. One, two. You play with it about five times, the rubber band would snap, the ball would fly across the room, break something, and you get a spanking with a paddle. No wonder we turned out this way. And nowadays, you can't even spank your kids. No, got to give them a timeout. Yeah, my dad would take time out of his busy day to whip our ass. You bet my dad would touch his belt buckle. We'd dive through a plate glass window. I was just kidding. Y'all get back in the house. Come on in here now. I was playing with you. Come on.
I get to the top of the slide, and it's not a slide, and I have slid. When you slide, you go wee. This is not what happened. I went, ah, that's not a slide. That's a drop. At no point did my touch slide. If you reach around and your is not touching slide, that's a free fall. You need a parachute or you're going to die. I'm falling. I see my family walking up. It's not a slide! And I hit the water. Oh, God. Those people shouldn't have been there. I pop out of the water. I hear, where's my baby? Where's my baby? Like, I need this on my vacation. The next ride is called the Giant Tube. Now, it's a medium tube at best. And I found out when I get nervous, I swell. You see people come out of the tubes. They plop ever so gently. Ooh, plop, wee. This is not what happened to me. I built up pressure. I shot across the pool. You know, like in Free Willy, where Willy jumps over the kid? I cleared 7 kids. There were some tourists here from Japan. God bless them. I made their vacation. They thought it was a show. Oh, he's like a fear weary. Oh, they were very nice, but all afternoon, you'll take another picture. Do again. Put my son on your back. Yoshi, get on the free weary. One more picture, and then I gotta go. I have video of it. I'm flying across the pool. I dubbed the soundtrack from Free Willy into it. So you see me flying, you hear that Michael Jackson song from the movie? Hold me like the River Jordan, and I will then say to thee, you are my friend. The last ride at the water park was a medium slide, my butt touch slide. That was good. But the pool was too short. I didn't even go in the pool. I hydroplaned across it. I went through the fence out into the parking lot. And I mean way out there, H-I-J. Please God, let me stop. I crawl back up to the gate. They want me to pay to get in again. I said, listen, I'm in a Speedo. You see a wallet anywhere? He said, I don't even see the Speedo. He said, nay, nay, and then he quit.
In January. I love John Finette. He's awesome.
So did I redeem myself over the cantaloupe plop?
You did indeed. You did indeed. Good choices.
Sweet. I love both of them myself, and we'll be doing more clips from them in the future. But I was kind of trying to suck up a little bit. Must be intuitively. I knew you wouldn't like the cantaloupe or something. I don't know. So let's see. What else can we go to? Well, Maggie's Moments this week. I can do a quick one on that. How much time we got left, buddy?
We've got 24 minutes.
Okie doke, because the meditation is going to take several minutes this week. So for Maggie's Moments, just kind of a heads up for everybody. And I know it sounds really, I'm not trying to talk down to anyone or make anyone feel bad, but we all get really busy in our lives. And, you know, sometimes we don't use the best judgment that we could, because either we're desperate in a situation, or maybe we're just so busy and we have so much going on that it may be a last-minute instinct to make a snap decision that normally isn't something that would be in our, you know, our thought process, something that we even consider. And my Maggie's moment for this week, as you know, I've been working a tremendous amount of hours on a particular case about a girl that got scammed by a gypsy psychic and was taken for a real lot of money. And, you know, when we're desperate, when we're at an emotional low, we're at a low point in our lives, you know, whether we've lost employment and we're on the internet searching for, you know, different business ventures that maybe to us may seem like a good investment at the time. You know, for instance, one of those work-at-home programs where you have to invest money into the program in order to get started, or if you're at an emotional low point and you're needing guidance and you're not at a point in your life where you either feel comfortable sharing some details, personal details of your life, or maybe you just don't have anybody to talk to, you know, to browse the internet and look for intuitive guidance from somebody who's not authentic. You know, we've all made bad judgment calls in our lives, and it's really easy to do. And if you've made a mistake in that arena, please don't beat yourself up. Don't think that, you know, how could I be so stupid? How could I be so dumb as to invested time or money into a venture that ended up being a scam? You know, we all get to these points in our lives where we become somewhat desperate at times, and maybe we don't have the avenues out there that would be beneficial for us, you know, a close friend that we could maybe rely on or confide in to talk to our about our problems, or maybe a family member who might be able to loan us a little bit of extra money to get through that tight spot. And so when we get very, very to the point where we feel like we're losing all hope, you know, we've all made some desperate decisions, I think, in our lives that maybe weren't the best judgment calls to make. Even in a relationship standpoint, you know, if, you know, you're lonely and you're searching for that person that will fulfill your life and you just want someone to spend time with that's a good person, or all of your friends are getting married and you're hitting your 30s. And I've had a lot of this the past couple of weeks, too, where, you know, a lot of girls are getting older and they're worried that they're never going to get married or they're never going to have children. You know, we get desperate. We join these dating sites, and that opens up a whole can of worms in a lot of instances, to where, you know, it's like the social media outlet. You can pretty much proclaim to be anything that you want, you know, on these sites. There's no background checks. These dating sites, Facebook profiles, and all the other social media ones out there, you can pretty much say you're whoever you want to be. And a lot of people prey on other people through these social media sites, especially the dating sites, where they'll make themselves a profile and make them out to be something that they're entirely not. And it's a way for them to take advantage of others emotionally, physically, sometimes financially, you know, and sometimes in all three cases. And, you know, it's what they do. You know, there are very bad people out there in the world that make a living or get their enjoyment out of taking advantage of others. And, you know, we need to be a little more careful in our discernment as to whether or not we really think that that business investment is a good idea, or is it some sort of scam, or if we're calling somebody for guidance that's wanting a monetary reimbursement, you know, is it something that potentially is a scam, or is that person legitimate? You know, are they going to give you the guidance that you need? Or, you know, is that guy that you're taking out or that's taking you out on Wednesday night going to be, you know, a potentially really harmful person? I mean, you don't know anymore. It could be somebody that's physically out to really harm you, you know? So when we find ourselves in those positions, what I recommend to people, rather than taking the jump toward one of those platforms, is to go to a local church or go to a counselor, find a counselor that's online, somebody certified, somebody that's legitimate, or get a referral from someone that you know, for someone that they've seen that's helped them, you know, to proceed in their life path, somebody that can be beneficial, somebody that can be a positive influence in your life. And you know, take that avenue as opposed to just jumping online and finding something that may seem beneficial to you at the onset, but really isn't. Another thing that I recommend to people is, especially in the late hours, I have a lot of clients that suffer from anxiety and depression, and so they're up, not like you and I are up because we work so much and we do so much with our time, and plus we're just pro-night people as a general rule, but people that suffer from anxiety and depression often suffer from sleep disorders, and so in the wee hours of the morning, you know, when their mind's been going for 7 or 8 hours, focusing on a particular issue or a problem, or they're feeling, you know, badly for themselves or feeling alone, those are the times that they're most susceptible to jumping online and finding, you know, a psychic or, you know, a get-rich-quick scheme or, you know, scan some dating profiles on Tinder or whatever. And what I would just advise everybody to do is rather than take that avenue, obviously it's in the middle of the night, you don't want to bother the few resources that you have as far as, you know, friends go. But just shut off the computer and try and quiet your mind and maybe read a book, listen to some music. Get through that tough spot. Pray, you know. Get through that tough spot and then, you know, relax your mind to where hopefully you can get some sleep. And then in the morning when you're refreshed, think about that opportunity more clearly. You know, look at it again. Go back in and research the site or research the person that you're considering contacting, or get someone else's opinion. Have someone else help you to discern whether or not that might be or might not be a good venture for you. But don't jump. Wait, you know, get some rest, get some sleep, think about it, get someone else's opinion, and then, you know, look at it again from an entirely different light and see, is this really something that would be most beneficial for you, or is this something that could potentially not only destroy your life personally or financially, but emotionally. So without going into too much details, I did have an instance that I've been working on for several weeks. And this woman was taken for a lot of money and she was terribly debilitated as a result. She's lost everything, you know, and we're making changes to correct that. But it was an instance of being up late at night and being desperate and feeling emotionally alone. And so she jumped, you know, she got on a website and found someone. And those guys, that's what they're waiting for. You know, most of these guys sit up all night waiting for their prey. Same with the dating scene, you know. So just be a little more cautious, be a little more careful, and look for guidance in other directions and wait before you make that decision to contact that person or that outfit. Make sure that it's the right thing for you, something that is very, very positive for you and not something that could be potentially disturbing down the line. So that's my Maggie's Moments. What do you think?
I definitely like it. I've had a feeling that you were talking about me through about half of it, but when you started talking about the desperation and the relationships, I'm like, this is me, isn't it? You're talking about me, aren't you? But no. No, we've all had those moments in time where we've been in that desperate stage and in that dark moment of the soul, you know, the dark night of the soul kind of thing. And when you're going through that kind of a process, it's very easy to fall into the traps that are laid for people that are going through that kind of thing. And you just want to be very cautious. Don't make any kind of judgment calls when you know that you're not in the best position to think. And you know when you're not in your best position, you know? So don't make any big decisions about your life when those moments are there.
Absolutely. And if you have made a mistake along those lines, and, you know, don't kill yourself over. Don't beat yourself, not literally, but don't beat yourself up over it.
Yeah,
especially
don't,
not literally, but don't beat yourself up over it.
It goes with what we were saying earlier. It goes with what we were saying earlier, the guilt thing. You know, you don't have to feel guilty about it. Everybody makes mistakes. Just move on, you know?
That's right. That's right. We'll focus on what you can do now to rectify the situation and pursue avenues that will help you to do so, whether it be legal avenues or just mentally supportive avenues. You know, find some people that can help you, and don't think that everything is lost, because nothing. I look at everything like from this perspective. We talked about this before. The way that I look at issues that come up in my life is it going to kill me? If that particular situation is not going to kill me, okay, if it's not an instance to where I'm going to die over that situation, then it's not worth making myself sick over or worrying over, because there will always be a solution. There will always be an avenue out. Things will always get better. So if you kind of put things into that perspective, like, is it going to kill me if I've made this mistake, or is it going to kill me if this has happened to me, or I've made this judgment call that maybe wasn't the best one that I could have made at the time because I was in a desperate situation? If it's not going to kill you, you're good. You're going to make it through. It's going to be okay, you know, and find that, find prayer, find meditation, find somebody that will help you. You know, it's not all lost. It's never lost. You're never truly alone, whether you think you are or not. There's always an avenue to pursue where you can find somebody that will help you. Even if it's just a hotline, if it's a suicide instance and it's in the middle of the night, call a suicide hotline. That's what they're paid to do. They're paid to counsel you. They're paid to help you get through that tough spot. So there you go.
I've always said when it comes to worry, it's really a waste of energy. You know, if you're worried about something, then change what it is that you're worried about. And if you can't change what you're worried about, then stop worrying about it, because there's nothing you can do about it anyways. That's just kind of the way that I look at things, you know? So I'll tell you what, let's go ahead and slip into the dancing and jamming music while we pee here. And hopefully you guys enjoy this. This is more music from Pat Carr. He's a really good guy, really good music. I like his style. So here you go. Take a listen.
When it comes to my baby, I've got a mean streak 2 miles wide. When it comes to my baby, I've got a mean streak 2 miles wide. So if you're messing with my woman, coming, you better run away and hide. I got a pretty little woman, she don't treat me too bad. She cooks my breakfast in the morning, she loves me when I'm sad. She'll take me to the doctor when I'm feeling low and ill. She'll give me all her love until the clock stands still. To my baby, I've got a mean streak 8 miles long. When it comes to my baby, I've got a mean streak 8 miles long. So if you're fooling with my baby and you see me, maybe you better run on down home. I was out with my baby with some jokes I can press. I said to him, man, about to get into a mess. She told me, you don't have to worry, you don't have to start a fight. Just give me a little love, and I'll always treat you right.
So there you guys go. Pat Carr, really interesting guy. It's somebody that Maggie ran across and found and has let us use his music here on the shows, and definitely appreciate it. I like his style. It's definitely reminiscent of, I don't know, Stevie Ray Vaughan, Eric Clapton. Kenny Wayne Shepherd is who really comes to my mind with him.
Yeah, I totally love his stuff. And I was very, very fortunate to be able to contract with him to do the music for the shows because I love everything he does. He's that one right there. I mean, it's just like it's so groovy. You know, I love the feel of it. And all his stuff's really good. And yeah, I've been very fortunate to be able to find him. And I do encourage, too, other people, you know, send me the original clips. I'm still getting them. I'm sifting through some. And some others have promised me stuff I haven't gotten yet. So absolutely. Send them to me at Maggie_Hart@outlook.com for my shows because I'm still looking for original stuff to fill this one and then the other three that I do. So thanks for listening to him and support him. Give him a check at soundclick.com, pwcarmusic.com. He's a great guy. Support him and buy his stuff. So going into, let's see, we could do way cool affirmations in scripture. The scripture this week kind of goes against the affirmation, but it relates at the same time, if that makes sense. The affirmation that I picked is, I release the need to prove myself to anyone as I am, my own self, and I love it that way. And there again, keeping with the theme of not worrying about what anyone else thinks, you know, not worrying about anybody else's perspective, but your view, making sure that you stay true to yourself. And the passage that I chose from King James was 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourself, whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. So, you know, basically that's telling you there to examine yourself inside, prove your own self to yourself. So it's kind of along the same theme, but a little bit different. I couldn't find anything that perfectly matched that I liked. So I went with that one. And as always, you know, put it on a post-it note, tape it to your refrigerator, put it in your phone notes. Say those throughout the day and they will help you. And again, you know, going into the meditation, when we go into the meditation later, also along the same theme, a lot of people are having problems with anxiety, still having, you know, the panic attacks and the anxiety attacks. But this week it was more as a result of the fact that they thought that they had made a mistake in their lives or done something wrong, and they were dwelling on that. So hopefully the meditation later will help you with that as well. So what else do we have left? We've done affirmations. We've done the music. We've done the to-do list for you. Mamma Mia. We can go to Mamma Mia. How about that?
All right.
Mm-hmm. Italians, I have the occasion to go to 2 weddings this month, and summer weddings are huge. In my instance, it seems like Friday weddings are huge. So, you know, in Italian culture, just a tip that I thought that I would hand out to all of the potential brides and upcoming brides out there for the summer season is, one of the girls, especially from the shower that we did for her, was, you know, scrambling to write thank you notes and get them out in time. And, you know, it's a lot of writing. Sometimes they'll have a person or two help them with their thank you notes for a shower or a wedding. But a different twist on that, and obviously it is still time consuming, but from my perspective, this would be a good alternative to you. If you don't want to be stuck at the table for 3 or 4 hours with your friends, or maybe even by yourself for several hours, depending on the amount of people that you invited to your event, is instead of sitting there typing and writing things out and putting in stuff on your computer, in Naples, instead of thank you notes for a wedding, brides were expected to bake cakes or cookies or something like that to thank their guests for attending the wedding. So it might be something that's beneficial to you if you have a social function like that coming up, where you might, and it's actually a lot more fun if you, especially if you have, you know, your bridesmaids helping you, to get 2 or 3 together, or, you know, even more of you if it's a larger party, and just have like a baking party. It's a lot more entertaining. You guys can have a lot more fun and bake like mini cupcakes or cookies or little scones or something as thank yous. And, you know, just send those out to your people that have given you gifts. This works best, you know, obviously, if most of your guests are in a local setting, because otherwise, you know, you run into the cost of postage, you know. But in most situations, you can even just do that for your local guests, for people, you know, in your family, local friends. And then if it's somebody that came from out of state to attend your wedding and you don't want to send the postage to mail them a parcel, then send them a thank you note. But it makes things a little more interesting. It makes things a little more fun. It's not as tedious about as sitting there writing, you know, 150 thank you cards, I thought. So what do you think about that?
Well, obviously, I like the idea, and I would say that this tradition started by people that just wanted to have free baked goods. I can get behind it.
We're Italian. When do we not want to eat? Are you kidding me?
Exactly.
My allergies are killing me. But yeah, seriously, when do we not want food, right? So I think it's a great idea. It's just a different twist. You know, it's another alternative. It's something that you could do, you know, like I said, even if it's just for local people.
Yeah.
You know, but even if it's a recipe, like a cookie recipe that your family has that you really enjoy, or you can do simple. You can even do, I mean, there's so many box mixes out there, for real. You know, you can get like a box mix for $2-3 and get maybe two or three box mixes. And you could do the cut and slice, you know. It's just something that's a little different than a thank you card. It's traditional in Italian culture, but something that would be different here with all of the different trendy weddings and themes and all of that stuff going on. It's something different that not everybody does anymore. In fact, nobody that I know does over here anymore. So, but I thought it'd be cool. And plus, like I said, it's an occasion for you guys to get together and have fun instead of, you know, sitting at a table on a beautiful summer day for several hours, you know, writing invitations and getting hand cramps, right?
Yeah, exactly.
How much time we got left?
About 2 minutes.
What? Oh, man, we got to do the meditation. All right, let's quickly, again, we'll do a speed anxiety meditation.
Very speedy, two-minute anxiety.
Very speedy. So breathe, it's over. No. Okay, so take a couple deep breaths. Get yourself comfortable in your sofa, your recliner, even if you're at the table. Take a few deep breaths and relax. And I want you to feel your body's weight on whatever piece of furniture happens to be supporting you right now, whether it be a sofa or a chair. And know that wherever you are seated, wherever you're laying down, that piece of furniture is totally supporting you. You're safe. You're protected. You're totally supported. You're not going to fall. And just breathe in and out. And as you breathe, focus on breathing in positive energy and breathing out all of the negativity, all of the anxiety. Know that the piece of furniture that's supporting you has a comforting feel to it. You feel safe, totally protected, secure. As you breathe in and out, you're able to relax and let all of your worries, let all of your fears, let all of your anxieties, as you breathe in, white light, calmness, peace, serenity, protection. Breathe out all of the anxious feelings, all of the nervous feelings, all of the feelings of fear, all of the feelings of trepidation. And breathe in. Nice deep breath. And on the exhale, let it all go. Know that you're safe in your environment. You're safe in your living room or your bedroom, wherever you happen to be listening. And that you're totally protected. And those anxious feelings are just a temporary feeling. It's your mind playing tricks on you. So if you direct your line of thought to something more positive, as you breathe in, more peaceful, more protective, all that anxiety will wash away on the exhale. as you breathe in, focus on concentrating your mind on the positive things that happened to you today, the blessings that you received, even the smallest blessings of a gentle breeze on your skin. And exhale all of the bad thoughts from the day, all of the negativity, all of the people that you've had to encounter that weren't pleasant. And breathe in the feeling of sunshine on your face, the warmth of the sun on your skin. And breathe out all of the depression, all of the sadness, all of those scary thoughts. They're put there to debilitate you. Recognize them for what they are. They're just bad thoughts. You can quell them. You can make them go away. Breathing in love, a feeling of love, maybe a kiss from your daughter or a hug from your neighbor or some positive feelings from your significant other or even a companion or a workmate, something that they did throughout the day to make you laugh or make you feel good about yourself. Hold that as you breathe in and breathe out the anxious feelings, the scared feelings. They have no power over you. They have no control over you. You have the ability to breathe in positive things and hopeful things and things of your faith, things that are positive, and breathe out all of the negative. And taking a couple deep breaths in and out. You can spend more time on this on your own at your leisure. You can continue on with the meditation after this show. Practice this and do this when you have some free time. Transmute all of the negative things with positive feelings. Simple memories throughout the day. You know, whether you stopped to chat with your postman or maybe did hold the door for someone who needed assistance or maybe you received an unanticipated check in the mail. Any blessings that you have, breathe those in along with the safety, peace, and protection, knowing that you're always safe and protected, and breathe out all of the negative things. Okay, thank you for listening, everybody. It's been a great show. Thank you, Ira, for all you do. Love you, buddy. We'll see you next time.
Thank you so much, Maggie, for everything that you do. And everybody out there, have a great week. Keep safe out there. Have fun, no matter what it is that you do. We'll talk to you again soon.
Gonna buy a radio station. Play a little music on the air. Spread a little love to the people out there. Gonna go out walking in the world. Breathe a little clean fresh air.